don't you worry about this young man. He's getting help. Amen. Ain't a thing wrong with that. In fact, it'd probably help a lot of us to do that. Amen. Find your way. Get close to God. Whatever you need for your life. Amen. I'm glad the Lord touched him. Hallelujah. I bless his name this morning. He's good. He's great. He's gracious. They just ain't nobody like him. He's the one and only. There ain't none beside of him. He takes the platform fully. Amen. There's no other God that could even reach up to where he's at. I bless his name this morning. He's good, and I appreciate him being merciful to me. Thank God his mercies are fresh and new every day that we live. I'm glad he watched over me through the night. Give rest to my body. Give strength to my soul. It's a blessing to be here. I tell you, God done some things here last night that helped us. Amen. I bless his name. It's come time for preaching this morning. It's good to have Brother Mike Holcomb with us. Brother Mike has been with us here for several years, and I appreciate this man. And wasn't able to come at the first of the week this year, so we worked it out for him to come at the end of the week. And he's going to preach for us this morning and in the morning and one of the slots of preaching. I want you to hear him gladly and ask God to touch him. Amen. It's good to have you on the ground. Just preach to us. I love you. They'll run the light for you back there.
Thank God for the blood. Blood of the Lamb of God that washed our sins away. Good to be back at camp meeting. We thank God for the blessings we've received right here on these grounds and how good God has been. And I'm thankful for the privilege to be back. I appreciate all the churches and all the people that are involved in this that have been such a blessing to us over the years. And if you would turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9. I just want to try to acquaint you a little bit with some thoughts, simple thoughts that I trust will help us today. It's my desire to try to be a blessing. I don't want to blast you, I want to be a blessing. I want God to use us today that we might edify the saints of God, lift up the name that's already above every other name. In Matthew chapter number 9, I'm just going to read a couple of verses of scripture there. Verse 1, the Bible said, "And he entered into a ship and passed over, and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son," I like this, "be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." The greatest news that's ever crossed my heart was the fact that I've been forgiven of my sin. The greatest report that ever came true to my soul was the fact that I've been washed from all of my sin in the precious blood of Calvary. It encourages me that the Word of God tells me that all my sins are gone, past, present, and future. Do you understand that? Absolutely not. But I do know for a fact that the blood of Jesus has washed them all away. They're not there anymore. I will never give an account for the sins of my flesh, the sins of my life, because Jesus has already paid for them, and they've been washed away with what was done on the cross of Calvary for me. If you've been born again, if you've been washed in the blood, you know what I'm talking about. If you've just made a decision, you don't know what that is. Hello. But if we all right? We've been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus the Lord. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm glad that I can report to you, all my sins are forgiven. They're washed away. They're gone because of the Lamb of God. The Greek word, tharseo, means cheer up or to be comforted. Jesus used this word on several occasions, but I just want to call your attention to a few of them this morning for a little while. Here in Capernaum, his city it was called, there was a paralytic who couldn't do anything for himself. He had no strength of his own. He couldn't do anything for himself at all. He had to have somebody to help him and take care of him. But this man, thank God, had four good friends who decided and who had it upon their heart, who had it upon their aim, who had it upon the mark of their life that they were going to get their friend to the one who could be friend number five. The one whose grace is able to save even to the uttermost all who will come unto God by him. The one whose grace is able to change lives and who is able to make a new creature out of us. The one whose grace is able to keep us. They were willing to come to this man's house. They were willing to pick him up. If you read over in Mark chapter number 2, you find another account of this same event that took place where they came to his house, they picked him up, they put him on a bed, and each one of these four good friends, by the way, the number 4 is the number of the cross. I'm glad the cross is sufficient for what it ails every one of us. I'm glad that the cross of Calvary, we can find hope beyond this world. We can find hope beyond our circumstance. We can find hope beyond the things that are around us. We can find hope in Jesus at the cross. They came to his house and they picked him up and they laid him over on a bed. And each one of them got a corner of that bed and they began to carry him to where Jesus was. Here in the Gospel of Mark, it tells us that it was noise that Jesus was in the house. I'm glad it was noise that Jesus was in the house when I was lost and undone without God and the men of God and the people of God and the friends that I had and my family prayed for me and they got around me and they got me on that bed and they carried me to the foot of the cross that I could get help from. Glory to God. These men were willing to do what needed to be done to get their friend to Jesus. You'll never be a better friend to anybody than to care enough about them than to get them to the cross of Calvary. You can't be called a better friend than those that are a friend of sinners who have a desire upon your heart, who have a burden upon your soul, who have an aim and a goal to get lost people to the cross of Calvary, to let them see Jesus as the answer and the hope and the remedy for whatever's wrong in their lives. These men were willing to come out of their comfort zone. They were willing to fight off the obstacles. They were willing to face the difficulties to make the sacrifice of their convenience and the sacrifice of their comfort that they might get this man to Christ. Amen. They were willing to do their part. No greater friend can be found in this world than someone who makes it their goal, their aim, their mark to get folks to Jesus. When they got to the house was full. There was people everywhere. There was no opening to get him in. The door was full. The windows were full. And that bunch of Baptists wasn't going to scoot over for anybody. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but I have. Amen. It's amazing we have so many places to sit down, but we've only got one that we'll take. Amen. And they brought him to the house, and they had a problem. They had gone through all the mud holes. They'd been over every hill. They'd been through every valley. They'd crossed and gone around everything that they had to get the job done, to get him there. But when they got him to where the house was, they still couldn't get him into where Jesus was. There is only so much that we can do. We have to leave the opportunity of them getting to Christ to those who would hear what thus saith the word of God. Amen. There's only so far that we can go. We can't force folks to get saved. We can lead them to Christ, but we can't force them to believe and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart by faith. they got to the place, they couldn't get him in. They decided, we're going to go one step farther. We're going to go up on the roof, tear it away, and let him down into the midst where Jesus is. I'm not sure that there's many of us today that would want to go to the extent that they have gone to. By the fact, I just don't believe there's that many that are willing to do whatever it takes to get them to Christ. Because there are more lost folks today than there ever have been before. Amen. Now, they tear the roof away and they begin to let him down into the midst where Jesus is. And I can almost see it now as Jesus looks up. He's known ever since they left the house that they were on their way. He knew what was in their heart. He knew what was on their mind. He knew the burden that they were carrying. He knew what they were trying to do for the glory of God. And it looked like they weren't going to be able to get it done until they tore the roof away and they let him down into the house. And I can almost see as Jesus looks up, and I believe he smiled at them, because the Bible said when he saw their faith, he didn't see the faith of the man coming down. He saw the faith of them that had done what needed to be done. Thank God there will be a payday someday for the saints of God, for them that have been faithful, for them that have prayed, for them that have bore the load, for them that have done what they could for the glory of God. Probably the greatest compliment ever given to anybody in the Word of God was where Jesus spoke to the woman and said, she hath done what she could. Oh, I wonder today, have you done what you could for the cross of Christ? Have you done all that you could for the beloved of God? Be of good cheer, son. Be of good cheer, son. I'm glad he's still willing and able to save even to the uttermost, even to the guttermost, all who will come unto God by him. I'm glad he's willing to save whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. They were letting him down into the midst of the room. He saw their faith. I believe he smiled as he looked at them and they let him on down into the midst. And the first thing Jesus said is looked at him and said, son, be of good cheer. You got something to be happy about. There's something to stir within you. There's something that's going to take place for you, but right now, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. They'd brought him there to be healed. They wanted him to have a normal life like everybody else. They wanted him to be able to do for himself. They wanted him to be able to walk. They wanted him to be able to do like they did. Jesus said, let's get our priorities in order. Number one, get saved. Number one, be saved by the grace of God. There's nothing more important than being saved by the grace of God. No matter what else you may accomplish in this world, there is absolutely nothing to compare to knowing that your name is recorded in the book of life in heaven and that your life has been changed from the inside out. Knowing that you've been born again. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. He's still laying there on the floor. They don't understand. They don't comprehend. But right now, that fellow laying there on the bed, the floor, has not comprehended what just happened to him. Amen. I don't know about you, but I didn't understand it all when I got saved by the grace of God. All I knew is something had happened to me from the inside out. I didn't know about all the benefits that go along with being saved by the grace of God. I didn't know about all the joy and all the hope and all the peace and all the Word of God that could enrich and strengthen our life. I didn't know about all those added benefits that He multiplies to us daily. This man's laying there on the floor. All he knows is something's happened to him. Jesus, understanding, comprehending those Pharisees and those Sadducees and those hypocrites that were behind him, those that said, oh, it won't last, it ain't no good, what he said ain't worth a flip, we don't have to listen to that. What the world is saying today is we don't have to hear that old-timey stuff anymore. We don't have to hear the old-time gospel anymore. We can do what we want to do, the way we want to do it.
The world says today there are many ways to get to God. But I got news for them. According to the word of God, there is only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. He's the only way to be saved. He's the only way to come and have your sins forgiven and washed away. Jesus said, I don't know why you're thinking that in your hearts, but so that you'll understand and comprehend, this man, son, take up your bed and walk. Imagine what this man feels like now as he rolls over. First time he's done that. Gets up on his knees. First time he's done that. Reaches and he rolls up his bedroll. Hello? The thing that brought him in there, that he was riding on. He rolls it up. He stands to his feet. He throws it across his shoulder. And he waves goodbye to everybody as he goes out among them, carrying the thing that carried him in. Be of good cheer. I believe he took that bedroll home, put it up on a shelf so every now and then he could go by and look at it. And he could say, that used to carry me. But I don't need it anymore. The grace of God now carries me and keeps me and makes me to know that I am saved and I'm on the way home because I've been changed from the inside out. The Lord of glory has done a work in my be of good cheer. Hey, if you can't be happy about being saved, what are you going to be happy about? If you can't get happy about the fact that you know your name's in the book of life, what are you going to get happy about? What kind of thing goes on in you that's better than being saved by the grace of God? There is nothing better than that. Jesus forgave the man's sin. He was washed from the sin and cleansed. The Bible says, yet today, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be of good cheer. Our God's not changed. He's still the same. He's still able and willing and wants to forgive and he wants to cleanse and he wants to make new every day of our lives. The disciples were out, Matthew chapter 14. They were caught in a storm. Jesus had just fed the multitude with a little lad's lunch, and the disciples had dispersed all the food. They'd worked and they'd worked and they'd fed that whole crowd, probably 22,000 people. And when they got all of them fed with the few little fish and the loaves of bread, they took up 12 basketfuls left over. Amen. One for every tribe of Israel. One for everybody. Hello? One big enough to save whosoever will. Amen. Jesus said, boys, you get in the ship and you go to the other side and I'll meet you there. I'll come to meet you there. While he sent the multitude away and then he went up on the mountain to pray. The reason he went up on the mountain to pray is he knew what he was sending them boys into. He knew about the storm they were facing. He knew about where they were going and how they were going to strive to get there. And in the third watch of the night, he comes a-walking on the water to them. They get scared because they look out and they see a figure coming on the water and they don't know who it is. And they're like most Baptists. They want to run off and hide. They want to try to do something to get out of the way of it. They said it's a spook. It's a haint. It's a ghost. It was. It's the Holy Ghost. He's walking on the water coming to them. And he would have passed on by them except they begin to moan and to cry and to weep. He said, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. It is I. I haven't left you. I haven't, glory to God, I haven't gone anywhere. I haven't turned my back on you. I haven't lost a sight of you. I know where you are. I know what you're going through. Peter got so excited, he said, Lord, if it be you, let me come walking on the water to you. You'll never ask the Lord if you can get closer to him, but what he won't say, come on. Amen. Amen. God have mercy. Be of good cheer. You'll never ask the Lord if you can draw nigh unto him that he will not draw nigh unto you. If you'll be willing to put aside the troubles and the heartaches and the burdens and go toward the Lord, He will be willing to come to where you are. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. I'm here. Be of good cheer. When Jesus came walking on the water, He said, trust me, I got you. Trust me, I've got you. I know where you are. I know what you're going through, and there's not one thing that I can't handle. Trust me, I got you. I know what you're facing. I know what you're suffering. I know how tired you are. I know how discouraged you are. I know the things that are going on. I know them that hate you, and I know the enemies that are around you. But be of good cheer. I got you. Amen. I got this. I can handle it. Put it in my hands. Give it to me. Trust me with it. I got you. Be of good cheer. There ain't no use in us walking around with looking like somebody done licked all the red off of our sucker. It's amazing how many people go around with the corners of their mouth always drooping down. They don't have a good word to say. They don't have anything joyful in their life because they're looking at circumstances and they're looking at the enemies and they're looking at the troubles that are around them instead of looking at the one that is able to take care of it and trusting in Him. Be of good cheer. I got this. And finally, Jesus was in John chapter 16. He was talking to His disciples when He said, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. The scene just following the Last Supper in the upper room, the disciples are perplexed. They hear what Jesus has to say. They're frightened and they're discouraged and they don't know what to do. He's fixing to leave and they can't go. They don't understand. He's not going to be with us. He's not going to take us with Him right now. No, He's leaving you here because He's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got something for you to do. He's got a work that needs to be carried on. He's got other friends He would like to see brought to Him. He's got others that are lost and undone without God that He needs the people of God to undertake and underscore and to lift up and to bring to His knowledge. Be of good cheer, He said. I've overcome the world. And because I live, ye shall live also. Folks are worried, they're concerned about the future and what might go ahead and what might take place in the near future. I believe right now God's given us a little space of grace and we got things better than we've had it in a while. Amen. If you can't see that, you're crippled too high for crutches. But in fact, we've still got problems and we've still got difficulties and we've still got an enemy that's going about seeking whom he may devour. And we've still got a lot of trouble that's on every hand. But we've got a Savior that said, be of good cheer. I've whooped it all and you can too because I'm going to take care of you. I've got this. Be of good cheer. There's no time for you to be sad. There's no time for you to be down and out. Any minute now, I'm a coming back. Any minute, the trumpet's going to sound. Any minute, we're going to be called away to meet Him in the air. Any second now, Jesus could come. Be of good cheer. No time to pout. No time to hang our heads. When our problems seem to be more than we could bear. And I promise you, that happens. We've all heard He will not put on you more than you can bear. That's a lie. Because He will put on more than you can bear. But He will not put on you more than He can bear. Be of good cheer. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Be of good cheer. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Be of good cheer. He's got this. If we'll only look to Him, if we'll only trust in Him, be of good cheer. Amen. He's overcome. And because He has overcome, we will too. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is the roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Because he is overcome, so will we. We have the promise of immortality. I don't know about you, but it encourages me today that I'm going to leave this place one day after a while. I'm going to get a body likened unto his. And I'm going to live with him forever and forever and forever. Be of good cheer. We have the promise of immortality. Be of good cheer today. No use in you hanging your head. No use in you being down and out. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. No, but he does. And he doesn't have to think twice about what to do about it. God bless you today.
Amen. Love you. Appreciate that. Give that to Jamie. Don't you appreciate that preaching this morning? Jesus was walking on the water as if he was going to pass on by. And they cried out, them two on the road to Emmaus. He is a-walking with them. Had they not invited him to come in, he'd have just went on. I'm glad Jesus takes the invitations. If you want him, he's available. If we'll seek him, he can be found. I thank him for that this morning.